I think it's time for a drink.
Hey guys, this is Taylor Cole from Kainos Ministries, and I just encourage you to sit back, relax, and just enjoy His presence as He watches over you with His love and overwhelms you with His goodness.
It is heart in your hand. You've got my heart.
Thank you, Father. 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 Father, we just bless you. We just thank you for we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for just showing us more of who you are, showing us more of your heart, showing us more of who we are in you, showing us more of who we are as men of grace, as men of love, men of honor. Thank you, Father, for just taking us by the hand and walking us through this journey step by step. I thank you just for that spirit of revelation right now, just that atmosphere of just, thank you, Father, that sweet, sticky, honey glory. We just thank you, Father, just stuck in the middle of this honey pot, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Just like, I just can't see the vision of Samson when he digs in to the lion and he pulls out the honey. It just eats it, man. The dead lion that produces that honey. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just for this atmosphere. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. My God. Earlier we were talking about thank you, Father. Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Exactly.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm good, man. Oh. Everybody okay back there? As long as they're good and we're good. Balcony? Too bright, I can't. Yeah. Too much glory. Right? They need some amplification in the glory. I'm opening it up, man. You can answer all the questions. Man, earlier we were talking about just. With all this finished work and grace theology coming from so many different directions and so many places, you know, it's easy to get caught up in the theology and doctrine part of it and kind of forget or not know what it looks like to be walked out in real life, you know. And we're kind of talking about that of just the model that Jesus gave of being a servant and being the king of kings, but being the servant of all, and how Abraham, how he was the patriarch, how he was the man, pretty much, and how Lot came with him, and it came to the point where there was strife in between the two, and Abraham, being the patriarch and being the uncle of Lot, Lot should have honored Abraham, but it was opposite. Abraham honored Lot and said, you know what, I don't want there to be strife between us because we're family. You can take whatever land you want. And because he humbled himself and he gave Lot that choice, Lot took the good land. After that happened, Lot means veil. And once the veil was removed and separated from Abraham, was immediately when God spoke and said, lift up your head, Abraham. Look to the west, look to the east. And everything you see is yours. And how we saw how secure he was in his trust with God. He wasn't worried about himself. He knew that no matter what he did, no matter what, if the giving Lot the option, he knew that no matter what happens, I'm going to be taken care of. And when we can come to that place of trust, and we can come to that place of just total abandonment, of saying, you know what? There's enough to go around that I don't have to hold and think that it's about me. Like, God's a big God and the possessor of heaven and earth, and I'm the son who possesses the same as him. And when we have that mentality, do you see how when we have that mentality, we automatically, there's no problem in honoring and exalting others before us. Because we know, we're so secure in who we are, we're so secure in our dad, that we know that no matter what happens, if I give away everything, I'm still going to be taken care of. What rest that brings, you know? Let's go into, I spoke about this in Dallas. I think AJ and Matt were there for, I touched on it. Yeah, I'm going to go to Joshua 5 real quick. This one, I really feel like this is a kind of a prophetic shadow of where we are now. The substance right there, man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of revelation. Thank you just for showing us more. Thank you for speaking through me. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Joshua 5, it says, now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons at Gibeth Haraloth in the glory. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who had come out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who had come out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. Notice that, okay, Joshua, you know, it's the Hebrew, it's Yeshua, type and shadow of Jesus, of entering into the promised land. Notice they were already across the Jordan, they were in the promised land, right? But what happened was all the people that came out of Egypt originally, that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and never entered the promised land, they were circumcised, right? Well, their kids were born in the wilderness, but they weren't circumcised. I really feel like this is where we are right now. We were kids born in the wilderness, not circumcised. We're in the promised land, right? We're home before we started. We're in the promised land, right? But we don't really know what it is to be circumcised. We have the head knowledge of this stuff, right? But the journey that we've taken so far, we really don't know a thing about actually walking in the promised land. We just don't know. Our fathers, it says that, and this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war died in the wilderness along the way. All the men of war, okay? We have to know that. The men of war died off. We're not men of war. We're a generation of rest. We're finding out what it means to rest, right?
That's good.
We're finding out what it means to rest and receive as sons. In the past, there was a lot of war, you know, taught of the spiritual warfare. And again, I'm not knocking any of that. But we're a new generation who is coming into a new move of God, to a new thing, right? He revealed himself differently to Moses than he did to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He revealed different sides of who he was. But it doesn't change the fact that this side isn't wrong and this side isn't right. It's just different sides of God that have been revealed, right? We're now coming in, we're being revealed as sons of God. We're being this grace reformation and the finish. We're seeing a whole different side of God. It's not discounting this. And we can't dishonor this because it's different from what we know and what we are hearing now, right? Because without this, we would never be here. Without our fathers who came before us, we'd never be here, right? But as they died off, they were in the promised land now, but he told Joshua to circumcise all the males. So we'll go on from there. Where do we stop? Does anybody know what verse? Read verse 6. Yeah. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished, because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land from which the Lord had sworn the fathers to give, the land flowing with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in the place, Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they were not circumcised along the way. Now it came about, when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their place, in their camp, until they were healed. It's so easy. It's like some people have, all they've come into this, all they know is grace. Some people came from a very law, legalistic background, and now the veil has been torn, Lot has been removed, and now we see grace, right? We see the finished work, we see a whole different side. Well, from that, I know in my own journey, when the veil was removed, when Lot was gone, and I began to see the reality of things, I was kind of bitter and hurt from what I heard before, right? Well, instead of walking in and actually being a man of grace and a man of honor and love, I was like, you're an idiot kind of thing, you know? Like, you don't even know what you're talking about. Like, when I was in the Word of Faith, I was the youth pastor there, and just, I really walked in a real bad place of dishonor, you know, in a real not loving way. Just in case you haven't heard my story, I was a grace Pharisee of grace Pharisees of all. And this is huge, because it says they were circumcised, but the Lord, they remained there in the camp until they were healed. It's so easy to start spewing off at the mouth all this knowledge that we, all this head knowledge, all this stuff of the finished work before we actually get healed. Now, were we healed 2,000 years ago? Yes. Yes, we were. We were healed. Okay. I'm not trying to say that didn't take place, but it does take some time to actually walk it out, to realize we actually are healed. It's not saying that we have to do something to be healed. It just takes walking out sometimes to realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be this way. This isn't me. So to anybody who's out there, that take your time in this stuff. Don't be condemned. Like, if you're seeing some of the place like where you've walked in dishonor, if you walked in a place of not love, but take your time. Like, this is a journey, and get healed, because I've started walking in, like I said, preaching and teaching all this stuff before I got healed. And I turned off a lot of people by how I presented the gospel. I presented this happy gospel in a very angry way. I presented this happy gospel in a very condescending, arrogant way that did way more damage than it did good. I turned off a lot of people. And if you have done that, go make amends. I went back to my pastor at my old church. I went back and I just apologized and just honored him and just wanted to reconcile that relationship. And when I did, I felt so good. Like I had no idea how much weight that I was carrying from that whole hurtful situation when I got kind of run out of that church. But if you have any, go make things right. Love doesn't, it doesn't keep count of wrongs. It doesn't keep count. It doesn't hold on to grudges and hold on to hurts and sins of others. And whenever you let that go, it's just such a release. So if anybody has that, man, just go. It's such a big step in getting healed and really walking out that healing. So they got healed and it says, then, verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of this place is Gilgal to this day. When did God roll away the reproach from Egypt, from the world? It was after they were circumcised, right? So many people now are in this grace reformation, in this finished work thing, using their freedom in a way that is no different from an unbeliever. And I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to condemn or come from a fair judgment side of way, but man, you're set apart. Like, we always use the thing, you know, well, grace isn't a license to sin. And well, people love to say that, but it's what I see happening. It's like, oh, I'm covered. I mean, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you are, then be it. It's not saying you have to do something to be it. It's saying you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Be it, man. And know that the things you say, and especially with social media, how easy it is to get things out there and the debates and the, man, have your words be laced with grace, man. Be laced with love. And if you claim to be a finished work grace believer, man, we should be different. Like, and I really feel like right now we're being circumcised. We're being healed from all our hurts from the past. We're being healed from all this stuff to be able to start walking out in the promised land that we're already in. Verse 10, while the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. And on the day after Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land. Do you see when they actually started partaking and eating of the land? After they were circumcised. And I really feel like that's where we're at, man. We're about to stop talking about all this stuff, and we're about to actually start eating the fruit of the promised land. Thank God. Thank God, man. Because I'm like I said, I've been talking about this stuff and typing about this stuff for so long. And, well, my life just hasn't really lined up with it all. At times it does. At times I'm walking it out. But other times I'm like, man, I just have a lot of head knowledge. Head knowledge does nothing. Head knowledge does nothing but puff you up if you don't have it in your heart. And I feel like it's just now, it's just creeping in and just dripping into my heart finally. I'm like, my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And on the day, did I just read that? Yeah. They ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased on the day they had eaten some of the produce of the land. So the sons of Israel no longer ate manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. we're not going to be eating manna anymore and talking about how we're in the promised land. Do you see that? They're two different systems. They're two different places. They're two different realms. we're not going, it's going to be different. Right now, it's kind of mixed. A little bit of manna, a little bit of big grapes from the promised land. Like it's, get rid of the manna, man. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. My God, my God, my God. We are people. You are a man of God. You are a man of grace. You are a man of love. You come from the very being of love himself. As he is, so are you. You are love. That's our true nature is love. Our true nature is love. Whenever we act unloving, and whenever we have a bitterness or we have some kind of resentment, or do you know how you're miserable, right? I am. There's a reason you're miserable, because you're not made to be that way. When you're walking in love, when you're walking in patience, when you're walking in the fruits of the Spirit, it feels good for a reason, because that's what you were made for. You weren't made to be anxious. You weren't made to be depressed. You weren't made to be all these things. That's why they suck. That's why they suck. Thank you, Father. 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 Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Make me have the right words. Speak it. Thank you, Father. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" I love it. And he said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, What has my Lord to say to his servant?" Do you see how we've made grace and finished work a new denomination, right? We've made this our own little clique over here. And it's kind of, are you for us or are you against us? Are you part of our crew or are you against us? We got beef or what, bro? You know? Well, he saw Jesus, right? And what did Jesus say? "No, I'm not neither for you or against you. I'm captain of the Lord of hosts." He's not, and when I say he's not for us, all I'm saying is it's not like we got him on our side and that's it. Well, he's not on their side because we're right. Our theology is way better. He's on our side. He's in our box. He's not in your box. He used to be in your box, but you're pretty religious and that's old. It's just a bad taste. But when he saw Jesus, and this is another thing that I know is going to happen. It is happening. It happens. It's happening within me. Man, yes, he's my friend. Yes, I'm in union with him and he loves me no matter what. But I've seen lately that our grace camp has lost the reverence of the King of Kings. Kind of in a way that we forget that he is the Lord. Like, he's the Lord, man. I get chills just saying it. He's the King of Kings. And we're going to be that generation that's going to see him. What did Joshua do when he had this realization? Bam! Face to the ground. We've kind of lost that. We've become so familiar with him, which is a great thing. I'm not saying this season of learning about union, learning about our oneness, learning about all this stuff, it's been amazing. But just like a diamond, when you turn it, there's so many different, beautiful, different facets when you turn it, right? He is this, but he's also Lord. Yeah. And I think we're going to start to be able to, we're going to see that side again. and we're going to bring into balance again. Because like it's so easy to go from this law side of things as the pendulum go and throw out everything. I don't need any of this stuff. That's all religious. That's all doo-doo. That's all works. I'm done. It's finished. It's like my little two-year-old, man. It's just like if he doesn't get his way or he's just... That's how I've been. That's how I was. It's just like this little two-year-old little kid. This is like it's not a good look. It's not a good look. It's a child. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. But now, we're not children anymore, guys. We're men of God. We're a generation of men of God. Be it. Have your speech. Have your conduct. Your be who you are. Stop settling and using grace as a. You see what I'm saying? You're free. You're free to do whatever the world you want. Go do it if you want. But not everything that you do is beneficial. Not to yourself and not to those around you and not to the people who are looking at you from afar to see what this is all about. Your actions are so much more than yourself. What you do affects so many more people than just you. When I'm a jerk, when I'm in a bad mood, when I'm fearful or anxious, I affect my whole household. I affect everyone around me. Well, if daddy's in a bad mood, well, they become in a bad mood. You see, it's just a cycle that just... Goes and goes. But what happens when you are walking in the gospel, the light of it? What happens when you're walking in the light as he is in the light? Do the opposite of that. You affect everyone around you. And they begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because as he is, so are you. And wow, this fruit is amazing. I want that. When you're around people of love, when you're around people of honor, it's just like, my God, I want it. it's so tasty. Like I was talking about earlier, the people that walk in the most authority, and the people that walk, they don't have to say much. You just know. And that's what when we're growing as becoming men, let's not say as much. Let's just start being. Let's not make as many Facebook posts. You know, let's just be awesome. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say it, but let's just be as he is, which is awesome. Thank you, Father. Now, Jericho was tightly shut, this is chapter 6, because of the sons of Israel. I think this whole... We're not having as much influence as we can because of how we've gone about it. Jericho, the places of that we should be influencing are shut because of us.
Wow. That's good, man. That's a good word.
If you want to be an influence in IHOP, stop making fun of them. It's not really that big of revelation. You see what I'm saying? If you want to make an influence in some different place, then how about taking a different approach? And maybe Jericho won't be locked anymore.
So it's really good.
Well, hitting him harder won't work, that's for sure.
Go with me to Genesis 15. Oh, no, sorry. Genesis 14, 17. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, man. You are the possessor of heaven and earth. You are a son of the Most High God. You are crowned with glory and honor. You are crowned with glory and honor. You are draped in the robe of righteousness. My God. Chew on that. Meditate on that. Cultivate that. What you cultivate, what you meditate on, what, where your mind goes, that's where you follow. Because I promise you, all the good theology that I've typed on Facebook, I haven't followed. Sometimes. Not all the time.
That's beautiful.
We're going back to Abraham again.
Genesis what?
Genesis 14, 17. Then after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him and at the valley of Sheba. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was priest of the Most High God, and blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." Hebrews, you can stay in Genesis. Well, put your finger there, put a tab there, and go with me to Hebrews real quick. Sorry. We'll come back. Not one of those tabs. Jesus, thank you, Father. Hebrews 5. Hebrews. Jesus, there's a way to glory. How do you say it? How is the right way to say it? Do you know?
It's Melchizedek, but I know a guy in East Texas used to call him Melchizedek. But is it the great high priest of Wisconsin?
Jesus Christ, our great Lord.
Blessed are the cheese
makers. Yes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you. We'll start with verse 5.
Verse 5?
Yeah, I think.
Hebrews 5:5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grace. So also Christ did... go to verse 4, sorry. And no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. No one takes honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God. You can't make yourself an honorable man. It's not going to happen. You can't. How do you become an honorable man? Receiving it. Knowing that you're called by God. Receiving His honor. You can only give what you've received. Because none of this is of your doing. By Him you are in Christ Jesus. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. Verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify Himself so as to become a high priest. Christ didn't walk around,
"Honor me. I'm the King of Kings. Do you know who I am?"
Do you see? He was completely opposite. He was the servant of all. And because he was the servant of all, it's so beautiful. You honor that. Christ. Say, men love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for. Okay, how did he love us? He loved us and he gave himself up for us. He washed our feet. He's not an insecure God. He's not that
honor me.
No. Your honor, he loves you into adoration, into honor. We only love because he first loved us. We can only honor because we first received from God. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. If we would love our wives, would love our girlfriends and men, help me, Father. The sacrificial love and honoring her and exalting her, making her the bride, the adoration, making her feel beautiful, making her feel secure, making her feel content, making her feel lovely, altogether lovely. Does that sound familiar? What happens to us? What he does for us? If we will do that for our wives and watch them blossom into the women of God who they were called to be, you have a responsibility, guys. Your wife will flourish as much as you exalt her, as much as you honor her, as much as you adore her and let her know how beautiful she is. When he lets us know how beautiful we are without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, what does that make us do, man? We walk around with no condemnation. We walk around with our shoulders back. We walk around as men of God because he first loved us. If we want to see results in people's lives, we have to first love them. We have to first serve them. We have to be like our God. If we want to see change, we might need to start looking at how God does it. And that's how he does it. He doesn't cram scripture down our face to make us try to get it. Don't you see? Don't you see what this verse says? You see how off you are in your theology? Don't you see? You're just in works. You're in religion. Are you blind? That doesn't work. Okay, that was a rabbit trail. Sorry. My God. Thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Just as he said in another passage, thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek. I like that way better. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears as the one able to save him from death. And he always heard because, what it's P-I-E-T-Y. What does that word mean? What does that mean?
It's a reverent submission.
Reverent submission, okay.
Pious. Not a smart man.
Well, the term being pious.
Pious, okay. Although he was a son, listen to this, guys. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Christ learned obedience. He didn't come as Superman. He came as a man who learned how to be totally submitted to God and walk with God. He learned obedience. He learned how to follow that the divine impulse of grace. He learned through the things that he went through. We do the same thing. We're learning.
I need to stop saying this. Thank you. Help me, Father. Help me make it right.
Help me. A lot of grace is taught as nothing but just favor. It's just slide in, easy, greasy. How many have experienced that? Sometimes, but that's not the norm in my instance. That isn't the norm. I've learned the hard way a lot, more than I have the greasy grace that just slips and slides and works perfect. Has anybody else? Okay, just making sure. Making sure I'm not the black sheep of the grace family.
Dude, it's like a Schlitterbahn life for the rest of us. I don't know what's up with you, bro.
Just believe, Taylor.
I know. Just believe, bro. Where's your faith?
Just believe, man. You gotta try harder.
It says that he, I think it's in Luke. Try harder. In Luke, it says that he grew in stature and, help me. He grew in
favor with God and man.
I say it again?
He grew in favor with God and man.
Yeah, but it says stature too, doesn't it?
And some translations say.
Yeah. Well, I heard.
All right, I'm gonna look up in Greek. Give me a second.
Yeah. Okay. I heard. I heard that. What's his name? Help me. Baxter Kruger. I heard him preach on this and talking about that word proptu, talking about how he grew. It's advancing by blows. What's that word mean? Advancing by blows. That's how we grow. We advance by the things. It's not that God is beating us or trying, but that's how we advance and we grow and we mature as men. We go through things. We go through the fire a little bit and we come out refined. Does God cause the fire? Does God cause things to come and does he intentionally want to make things just, I'm going to see if they can do it? I don't think so. I don't think he's a God like that. But I think he will allow certain things to come along to make us advance by blows and really get it.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's cool, and I don't have a problem with that. I just have a problem with that when people are like tornado survivors and they just lost everything they own, and people go, what don't kill you makes you stronger? Well, that's not the answer to tell them, right?
Yeah, not at all. That's not walking in love. That's walking.
I'll pray for you.
Right.
And then
right.
Help.
Right. Yeah. I'll pray for you, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And Danny could put us through boot camp at times.
Yeah.
You know, like Brother Lawrence is pretty convinced that a lot of his, you know, crap is put on him by God to advance him. And so he stays whacked even in the midst of it.
Right.
Because it's like, it's for God, of course. It's the strength of me.
Right. Right. I'm always scared to say that it's by God because a lot of it can be seen as everything is from God. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, there's bad theology on
those. Yeah. So it's one of those middle of the road things, you know. It's like, I don't know.
It's kind of like, you know, lifting weights. You know, it's like if you're lifting weights, like you're putting stress on your muscles.
What is this thing you call lifting weights?
I don't know. I don't do it. I don't lift weights.
Is this Greek?
Because I don't lift weights either. I've done that before, and it's hard. But I do know that I get stronger from putting stress on my muscles, you know? Like, so it's kind of like when I go through something difficult, it only serves to make me stronger.
Yeah. We receive the promises through faith and patience. Like, you have to go through things sometimes, and we have to be able... That's what really faith is. Going through things and not seeing the promise automatically, but still believing that it's going to happen. Faith and patience. It matures us to be...
Yeah. Hey, how can you prove that a product can do what the promises say that it can do unless you put it in the face of what it's designed to do or withstand?
Yeah.
You know? Like if you have a bulletproof vest, the true test is shooting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's test this out.
Let's test our immortality, guys.
Yeah. Let's test out this immortality theory, shall we? Where is it in James 1:2 from the mirror? It says temptations come in different shapes, sizes, and intervals. Their intention is always to suck you into their energy field. However, my brothers, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. Here is the secret. Joy is not something you have to fake. It is the fruit of what your faith knows to be true about you. You know the proof of your faith results in persuasion that remains constant in contradiction. That's real faith. In the face of staring contradiction right in the face. In the faith. In the face. In the faith.
While in the faith. While in the faith, you stare contradiction in the face.
That can be irrational. Yeah,
it could. But...
Sequel making a comeback.
Right. Making a comeback. Steadfastness provides you with a constant environment, and so patience prevails and proves your perfection, how entirely whole you are and without any shortfall. The only thing that you could possibly lack is wisdom. Is wisdom in knowing that you are perfect, that you are healed. well, my healing isn't manifesting right now. What's going on? What's going on? Just like a mother hen sits on her eggs. She knows they're going to hatch. She's not worried about it. She's not stressed about it. They're going to hatch. I'm just going to chill. I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax. And I'm going to trust. Faith is trust. It's rest. It's giving up. Sitting on our eggs until it manifests and improves our perfection. That's good. Francois knocked it out of the park on that one. Back to Hebrews real quick. I wanted to talk about the order of Melchizedek. Okay, what is the order of Melchizedek? So we go back to Genesis 14, 18. It says, Melchizedek, he wanted to say it, king of Salem. Salem means peace. Shalom, right? It comes from Shalom, Will, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a scholar.
I can tell.
I'm a scholar and a baller. Yeah.
Piety.
I did go to college, and I do have a degree that sits on my wall doing nothing except paying student loans. I went to college. He was king of Salem, but he was also priest of the Most High God. We are now of the order of Melchizedek. Okay? We are kings and priests of the God Most High, right? We are kings. We are all kings and priests. Priest, our priestly side ministers to the throne, and our kingly side ministers from the throne. Okay? When we're walking in a... Priestly ministers to the throne, kingly ministers from the throne. Okay? But we have to see what the order is. All this stuff that I've been talking about of walking out love, walking out being a man of God, we have to know that we are totally dependent upon Him to even see the fruits of that happening. If we try to drum up love, if we try to drum up being honorable, try to drum up all this stuff, it's going to do nothing but fail. Because you can't do it on your own. The more you try to love somebody, the more they're going to annoy the heck out of you. And the more that you're not going to love them. That's why we have to come to that place of rest, and we have to come to the order of how God does things. For everything, the order of things is me and Him to the throne, right? When I am in that place of fulfilling my priestly duty of me and Him, which is the first thing in the order of Melchizedek. I love it. I'm going to use it from the now on. When we receive first from this relationship, our horizontal relationship will fall into place effortlessly. Everything that we're wanting to be, right? Men of God, men of grace, men of love, men of honor. It all flows from our kingly relationship with me and Him, one-on-one. Then, when we have fulfilled our priestly duties, say, and we have been in that secret place, that place of me and Him fulfilling our priestly duties, now we can go horizontal and walk in our kingly duties and bring heaven to earth as kings on earth. But we have to get that. If you think that spending time in the Word or spending time in prayer, spending time with God is work, then you are highly, highly mistaken. It's kind of been brushed off, and I've heard that it's kind of a work thing now. What? It's not work. It's your life source. If you're cut off from your life source, you will have no life. Is He with you always? Of course. Is He omnipresent? Of course. Is He in you? Of course. Are you bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Yes. But if you don't know it and aren't aware of it, it does you no good. Cultivate the garden of pleasure. Cultivate the garden of Eden. Cultivate what you have. It has to be tended. It has to be cultivated to be seen. It is not work. It is what we are designed for it. We are totally dependent upon Him. And our priestly duties have to come first. If you want to be a good husband, fulfill your priestly duty and then be a king of your house. if you operate and you flip the roles of trying to be a king before you're a priest, you'll be like everybody else, other kings, greedy, hungry, money. You see how everything is flipped upside down in the world? For that reason, because they're not operating from receiving first to then go do. They're not receiving the spirit of God, the spirit of the world, the spirit of the flesh, the spirit of this realm of how things operate. And look where it's got us. You see how Jesus modeled this? What would he would always break off to get by himself. No, no, wait, I have to wait. That's rude, Jesus. He knew. He had to. He had to. But Jesus saw these people. They're not healed yet. I'm dependent upon my Father. Leave me alone for a second. You're so needy, boys. What else did I want to hit? I heard Bill Johnson say something that was just, man, it was awesome. He was talking about the wheat and the tares, of how when they grow up together that they both look the same. You can't tell the difference between the two until they mature. Mature? That's the scholarly way to say it. Mature. But when they mature... You have to do this too because it makes it better. When they mature.
Can you find out which one is the mature?
Jesus. I don't speak of such things, Chris. I'm a man of grace.
He's a super apostle, bro. They don't use language like that. Okay. Paul, he was a super apostle. Well, no. He said he wasn't, but he was.
Paul. Paul paid tithes to me. I love you, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for the words that you spoke. Oh, to be written down by Tim or Luke. Who was it? Who wrote Paul's letters for him?
Tychicus?
Those guys. Anyways, I'm getting off. Sorry. Come back, Lord. Help me. Come back. Come. Talking about poo over here got me all off track, man.
See, there's one in every crowd. Jesus' disciple, you don't know, but whatever his face, like Simon the Zealot was all about poo all the time. It's a little known fact in the apocryphal literature. Like, he'd bring it up every time.
Really? Are you joking?
Yeah, of course I'm joking. What are you talking about?
It's hard to tell, man. I mean,
how do you know, like, 12 Jews warned him? How do you know that someone's, like, playing the penis game or something during while Jesus is talking? Sorry. You can edit that out, Taylor. That's fine. But you know that it
No, I'm amplifying it. Will said penis.
It's a men's conference. There are no women here. We can say
whatever. How in the world are we going to tie this in?
Taylor gets his first email from a woman, he's coming after you.
Whatever. It's okay. About 2/3 of Stephen Olive's ministry is poop jokes. That's really true. It's, and they're so anointed and yeah. They just shift the atmosphere every time.
Yeah.
So we're like, hey, it works.
Yeah, that's true.
It can work.
It's a greater glory.
The wheat and tares, man.
I know.
Oh, what?
They matured and found out which one was manure.
Well, manure does fertilize, man.
Okay, we're moving on. Moving on. The wheat and the tares, they grow up, they look the same. Okay, but you only find the difference of what the wheat is and what the tear is when they mature. And the way you know the difference is the actual wheat is so has so much grain and so much fruit coming off of it, it bows down. It starts to bow down. But the tear, what they call the bastard wheat, the fake, the weed kind of, it stands up straight because it has no fruit. And it just blew me away of the similarity of how when Jesus, when he used that, like, when you mature and you actually have fruit, you actually come into that place of submitting, you know, of bowing down, so to say, of because you have nothing to prove. I'm a man of God. I'm a son of a possessor of heaven and earth. I have nothing to prove to anyone. I'm secure in my identity. I don't have to one-up anybody. I don't have to try to open my own doors and make things happen. And I'm a son of God, man. But what does the bastard wheat do? It stands up tall, trying to look good, but it has no fruit on it. For so long, that's what I've been. I've been just bastard wheat with no fruit. I'm done. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of typing. I want to be who I am. I want to walk this thing out. Because it's ours. It's our inheritance. I want to taste the fruit of this promised land that we're in. I want to stop. The manna's going to cease, guys. I don't know if it's fully ceased yet. I don't know where we're at in this whole deal of things, but I know that we're there. And it's going to stop. We're not going to have a choice. Either we're in this fully or we're not, because you're going to be found out as a tare if we're not producing the goods. And again, it's not of your effort. It's not of your works. It's not of anything of you. It is making the main thing, and maintaining your priestly relationship to the throne that you can produce as the kingly authority on the earth and bring heaven to earth. It started here. Yes, I believe that, but is it really manifesting? It is in a lot of places sometimes, but the grace theology is kind of acting like heaven's here, but again, guys, it is here, but it's not really manifesting like we talk about. You see what I'm saying? Are the heavens open? Yes, he ripped them open. The veil of his flesh was completely torn, that we could see his heart, man. That we could see inside how beautiful his heart is, how much he loves us. It was just ripped it open. But if you're not conscious of it, and if you're not walking this stuff out, you'll never see it and tap into what is in front of you. The order of Melchizedek. Stay in that order and watch what happens, man. Watch what happens. Make the main thing the main thing. And then when you are filled up, you have actually something to give. You actually can start operating in that kingly authority, because you actually have something to pour out to the people. You can actually operate in the authority that we talk about and type about. And be it. Become. Be the man of God. Be the man of grace. Be the man of love. Be the man of honor, because that's who you are. God, beautiful gospel. Such good news. Such good news. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for just opening up more of our identity. Opening up more, that spirit of revelation, just unlocking things and showing us things that revelation brings manifestation. And not just a head knowledge. I thank you for just for cramming it down. I see just a push from our head, just pushing it down, just cramming it down into our hearts right now. So good, man. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
The cross, what a massacre.
For more information on Kainos Ministries, you can check out our website at www.kainosministries.org. That's www.kainosministries.org.